This is Larry Stein for KPTZ News. We have a special interview that was recorded on the morning of January 31st with Derek Kilmer, the congressman from the 6th District of Washington. He is the congressman for our region here in Port Townsend. We've spoken with Derek in the past about different issues that coming up. We haven't spoke to him since the election. We'll be doing a periodic checkup with Derek monthly or so as we can to follow what's going on in Washington and what our representatives are doing and how they're interacting and affecting what's going on. Derek Kilmer from the morning of January 31st. Derek Kilmer, representative from Washington's 6th District. Larry Stein here from KPDZ. Derek, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Boy, do you have a busy whirlwind going on around you.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment in our nation's capital, and that's certainly been true for the last couple of weeks.
Really, really. So there's so many, you know, your constituents are asking you so many questions, and of course you see the questions people are asking all over the country, and our state government is getting involved with the recent lawsuit from Bob Ferguson, and supported by Jay Inslee from the state of Washington, relating to the immigration bans. What's your take on that lawsuit from Washington?
Well, I think this executive order that implements this ban is incredibly misguided and most likely unconstitutional. So I certainly support the efforts at the state level to challenge it in the court. I've co-sponsored legislation to try to overturn it in the Congress. You know, and listen, everybody wants to keep our country safe and secure, and that's why we have a rigorous process for allowing refugees into this country as it is. But a blanket ban on refugees isn't going to help protect our homeland, and it actually, I think, makes us less safe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's diverting resources away from trying to keep us safe. The notion that we would do extreme vetting of women and children who are fleeing persecution makes no sense. And on top of that, it sends a message to our allies that you know, we're not going to be good partners. It sends a message to those who wish us harm that affirms what they fear about the United States government. And I think that is really dangerous. But the other thing from my standpoint is, you know, listen, there have been moments in our history where we've let fear stand in the way of what makes our country great. And whether it was denying entry to Jewish people who were fleeing Nazis in Europe, or whether it was the internment of Japanese Americans. Listen, I represent Bainbridge Island, where the internment began. And those are moments in American history that are correctly judged as shameful exceptions to our values. And this is one of those moments. You know, I don't support having a religious litmus test for entering our country. I agree with constitutional scholars who say that runs afoul of the Constitution that I took an oath to uphold and that the president took an oath to uphold. I don't support religious registries. I've sponsored a bill that says it should be illegal to create a religious registry in this country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we gotta keep at it. I think we can keep our country safe, but do it in a way that reflects our values. Yes. And make sure that our country continues to be a beacon of freedom to the world.
So who in Congress is putting forward this legislation? You said you've signed on to it, your co-sponsor. Where is it coming from, kind of the source of
the lead sponsor is Zoe Lofgren from California. Right. And I think as of this morning, we're up to 170-something co-sponsors. So I'm very hopeful that we can get this done legislatively. You know, obviously, the Democrats aren't in the majority right now. And right. So it's going to require some of the Republicans to acknowledge that this executive order is wrong and having them come on board as well.
A lot of the turmoil that's going on now in the establishment of this Trump administration has to do with the Senate and the confirmation process. Do you have any kind of input into that process, or you have to defer to the Senate on that?
We don't have an explicit role in the confirmation process. While we can, and I have, voice concerns about many of the nominees, while we can call out concerns around conflicts of interest, unfortunately, we don't have a role specifically in the confirmation process. Now, having said that, I'll give you an example of the types of things that we can do. So, for example, I serve on the Appropriations Committee. I'm the new vice-ranking member of the Appropriations Committee. And last week, as we established the rules for the committee, my Democratic colleagues and I tried to put forward an amendment to the rules that said, if you're an administration official that wants to testify in front of our committee, you should have to have completed your ethics forms and your compliance forms that make clear that there are not conflicts of interest. Your agenda should be the public's interest, not your own personal interest. And that's why we have those processes in place. One of the concerns I have is you've seen a number of these nominees fail to do the basic compliance forms. And, you know, as a consequence, there's very legitimate concerns around conflicts of interest.
That's right. Yeah, everything, all of the processes that governments go through in legally setting down rules have been short-circuited. And for the example of last night with the acting attorney general deciding that the immigration limitation and ban, at least they call it a temporary ban, but the executive orders put into effect were not defensible. And, of course, then she was fired by the president for not towing the line.
I think it's very concerning. I think that's very, very concerning. And I think, you know, unfortunately, with a number of these executive orders, you know, certainly with the one on the immigration ban, we've seen the executive order associated with establishing a hiring freeze just completely not thought out, right? I mean, we've had Democrats and Republicans agree, for example, that we need to increase the hiring of care providers within the Veterans Administration because we have long wait times for veterans to be able to get the care that they've earned. And yet, the president has just signed an executive order that freezes hiring, including for the Veterans Administration. I have literally talked to anyone in Congress who thinks that that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got, I'm a fundamental believer in the notion that you should aim first. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be happening by the new administration.
Right. This freeze of hiring and also freeze of grants. I know you're involved in dealing with the EPA and the freeze in grants and hiring really and staffing of the EPA dealing with the fisheries, our regional fisheries.
I'm really concerned about this. The Trump administration halted all grants and contracts to the Environmental Protection Agency. And, you know, let me just say quickly why this matters. You know, oftentimes when you think about a federal agency, you know, it's thought that the money gets spent, you know, in large marble buildings in our nation's capital. That's simply not true with the EPA. More than half of its money goes to grants and contracts that get spent in our communities to try to protect clean air and protect clean water and clean up hazardous waste sites and support things like the Puget Sound Partnership in the effort to recover Puget Sound. And so when they put a complete freeze on grants and contracts, it's incredibly disruptive to some of the progress we're trying to make on behalf of our environment locally. For what it's worth, it's also incredibly disruptive to local industries. You know, we've got our salmon fisheries, we've got our shellfish growers, you know, who rely on clean air and clean water. You know, this is a really damaging move on behalf of the new administration. You know, unfortunately, it also, you know, was reflected in a freeze on communications from the agency, both to the public and to members of Congress. So when we were trying to get clarity on what they were doing, unfortunately, the EPA staff had been directed not to provide information regarding this freeze. So there's even further uncertainty.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've also seen moves by the administration to remove, for example, on the EPA's website, any reference to climate science and to climate change and to the commitments our country has made to try to be part of a global response to combating climate change. And so all of these are, I think, really troubling moves by this new administration.
Well, I know there's another Washington connection in that Trump's administration has brought in two state senators from Washington, who you probably know from working with them in the state government, Doug Erickson and Don Benton, and they were prominent Trump supporters, but they've been brought in to be sort of at the head of the reorganization of the EPA. And I know they are not friends of the environment, really, themselves.
I'll just say globally, I think it's really important that the appointments that are made by administration are appointments that embrace the mission of the agencies that they're assigned to. You know, I think it's troubling that the designee to run the Environmental Protection Agency is someone who, as his state's attorney general, was consistently filing suits to combat clean air and clean water protections. I think mm-hmm. it's troubling that we have a designee to the Department of Energy who, as a candidate for president, wanted to eliminate the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, yeah. you can go department by department, yeah. and there's a lot of these designees that simply yeah. don't embrace the mission yeah. of the agency.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in every agency we're talking about issues like this. One thing I just want to clarify is I know you just were given a new position in the Appropriations Committee, and the Appropriations Committee is so important. Can you just give us a thumbnail on what this new position is?
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So I was selected by my colleagues to serve as the vice-ranking member of the Appropriations Committee. Just as context, each year we work on 12 bills that basically provide funding for all government agencies and programs. So we cover a lot of ground. And you know, everything from investing in initiatives that keep our drinking water safe to programs that help workers get skills to compete in this economy to providing funding for the Veterans Administration and making sure that our retired service members get the benefits they've earned. And so, you know, having been selected as the vice-ranking member, you know, I'm excited about it because it puts me in a better position to stand up for these values and these priorities that are so important to mm-hmm. our region. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity, and hopefully it puts me in a position to have more impact for
Wonderful.
Our region.
Well, we hope so. One last question. I know your constituents and people all over the country are trying to figure out the best way to communicate with our representatives about our concerns. I mean, of course, there are demonstrations of the street, there are petitions, there are phone calls. How would you suggest the best way to really make impact in contacting our congresspeople or senators about this?
Well, here's what I would think through, right? There's one, how do we stop this new administration from doing bad things? And some of that is, you know, contacting your representatives. You know, by and large, your representatives agree with you, right?
Right. In our state,
you know,
that's true.
I'm concerned about many of the things right. our community is concerned right. about. You know, certainly I think our senators are as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you got to rush off to do some business of the House of Representatives. So thank you for making some time to talk. And we'll just be checking in with you every month or so at least.
Terrific.
Get a chance for you to talk to us. And we really do appreciate it also when you come out to our local regional events. You were prominent at the demonstrations on the 21st here in Port Townsend, and people recognize that.
You bet.
So right.
It's important for people to raise their voices and yeah. to make sure their government hears them. So I appreciate your listeners
Great.
Being part of that.
Thank you. Derek Kilmer, Representative Washington 6th District. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Derek Kilmer, representative from the 6th District, our district here in the Port Townsend region, talking from his office in Washington on the morning of January 31st. We'll be keeping in touch with Derek as things develop in Washington and in this country. Thanks for listening. Larry Stein here for KPTZ News.